There were about 2.5 million homeschool students last year in grades K through 12. Okay, so it's not a small group of people. This is pretty big. 2.5 million homeschoolers last year, making about, that was about 3 to 4% of the school-age children. According to the National Home Educators Research Institute, the president says, in anticipating that their numbers will increase by at least 10%. So we're talking about a movement of people that's about 5% of the population now, of school-age people. That's an amazing number. It's a number that I think could actually start changing the whole direction of education. All you need is a very vocal and adamant minority to make major shifts in public policy. Here's one other little key factor before I bring Rachel on. The National Homeschool Association received more than 3,400 requests for information on a single day last month, up from between 5 and 20 inquiries per day before the coronavirus. 3,400 inquiries a day. So you might be saying, well, Dave, this really isn't a finance topic. Why is this on the True Money Show? And the answer is I could stretch it into a finance topic. How? Well, if you're not going to pay for private school and you're going to homeschool, you're going to save money. So now I just made it financial for you, right? Or how about this? Since this is a really growing alternative, it might make us rethink taxation. In other words, we're currently spending a lot of tax money supporting schools. If we really start to change the conversation and say, hey, education has been taken by the parents where it rightfully belongs anyway, is it too much of a stretch to think that maybe we might be talking about changing the tax structure a little bit? That's a finance topic, isn't it? So between the rapid growth and these kind of admittedly stretched finance positions, I think it was worth talking about again on the True Money Show. So I brought into the studio my wife and mother of five children. She has homeschooled them. And I was talking to her earlier. I was going to guess 20 years. And then I started calculating. Wait a second. No way. Stephen didn't start when he was born. So 14 years, Rachel corrected me, 14 years we've been homeschooling. And she's going to help us try to understand not just the mechanics of homeschooling, but also the psychology of it. So, Rachel, welcome to the True Money Show.
Hello.
Turn her up a little bit so I can hear her. All right. So, yeah, speak up and be. Don't worry about being too loud. If you can hear good in your ears, you're good to go. All right. So, Rachel, I'm trying to have you get back in Mike's Wayback Machine and go back those 14 years and tell us what you felt, what you thought, what were all your emotions and ideas when your maniac husband came home and said, I want to homeschool the kids.
Well, I remember thinking, I think my first response was, do people actually do that? What is that? I'd never heard of it. I didn't even know it existed. And so, you know, I think that started the conversation. And then, of course, we did some research and there we went.
Yeah, I had run into some children in my travels when I worked in Northeast Texas. And they were, it was a family, two families, but one in particular I remember. And the kids were just so astounding. They were bright. They were mature. But I also saw them playing with young kids and being very just joyful and playful. So these were like high school to high school age children. And I saw there's such a wide range of their abilities to talk both intellectually things with the adults. And then I saw them speaking and playing with the kids and this maturity and this good and this compassion. And that's what kind of got me going was we ought to homeschool our kids because these are really well-balanced kids. But, okay, so you had a little bit of just what is this? But what about fears? Were there any fears there?
I mean, it's been so long ago. I'm sure there were. I think in the early years, it's always a little easier, you know, because you're pretty confident that you know what you're teaching the children, right? It's a little overwhelming to teach a child to read, I'll tell you that. But I'm sure I had a little apprehension, but I think once we got started, I thought, okay, I can do this. You know, we'll just dive in here and we'll do it and we'll figure it out as we go. So the early years weren't too bad. I think I, you know, kind of felt my feet under me pretty quickly.
Yeah, I remember a conversation we had where we were discussing, you know, I guess it was just the whole idea of failure. Like, well, you know, we're going to take on this project and it's a pretty important one. You know, it's our children and their education. And I remember thinking, and we said this, I said, baby, you know, it doesn't matter if we fail, because I'd rather have holy morons than basically sinful, brilliant kids, right?
Yes.
So I think that was one of the fears I had was we thought about failure, but I thought, you know what? There's no failure here. If we love our kids and we do our best to teach them, I think they're going to come out pretty good.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So speaking of that, so do you believe anyone can homeschool?
I do believe anyone can homeschool. I think that, you know, as parents, God entrusted these children to us, and I think He gave them to us with the ability to be able to teach them. I think that's, you know, a role we should not take lightly. So, yeah, I think, you know, it may be a little more difficult for some people. I know everybody's situation is different. But I do believe if you're really committed to it and dedicated to it, then that, yes, I think anybody can teach their children.
So I'm looking at the chat room, and Molly comes in with another reason. It's a finance topic. She says, it's a finance topic if your wife is leaving her job to do it. And then LOL. But, yeah, I mean, all right. So what about that? We'll bring that topic up. I guess now it's worth discussing. You and I made a commitment to, you know, when we had kids, for you to come home and for you to be the nurturer, the person who formed the child in the values and the ethics, the love that we wanted to instill in our children. And that's a huge sacrifice. So, you know, what do you do? I don't guess there's really any good advice for someone on this topic, but what would you say to someone when they go, well, we're going to have a lower standard of living. We're going to have, you know, not quite the trips and the cars and that everybody else is doing on two salaries because we're going to one salary. I mean, that was a pretty big hit, right?
It was. I remember having that conversation, actually, when we had our first child, me coming home, because we had been, I think, married for 8 years or so. So we were very comfortable with that two salary house that we had. And I know that was a concern, but we knew going into it that we would have to make some sacrifices. They were sacrifices that we discussed and that we were both willing to make. And, you know, I think if you're realistic with your expectations going into it, then I think it's a little easier, you know?
Yeah. You know, I don't know what I would – I mean, I'm a financial advisor, so I guess I do know what I would say to somebody who's trying to do it. I've actually counseled some people. You know, I've helped people cut their budgets down to the bone. They still couldn't pull it off. I've helped people cut their budgets to the bone, and they barely could scrimp by and say, okay, I think we can do it. I tell newly married couples what you and I tried to do all along, which is just live on one salary. Mm-hmm. In other words, get in the habit right when you start, and then you'll be able to pull it off. Now, we tried that, but then, you know, with job changes and moves and everything else, there were times when we weren't living on just one salary. We were sharing or using both to catch up. So it's not a perfect world, but it is possible if you really put your mind to it, I think.
Yes, and I remember having that conversation now that we wanted to try to do that because, you know, if and when the children did come, we didn't want me to have to work. But, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, we had been married a while, 8 years. We'd kind of gotten used to doing and going and coming home every weekend and kind of whatever we wanted. So, you know, it was still somewhat of a sacrifice. But I think because we kind of planned on it from the beginning, maybe it was a little easier. I won't say it was completely easy, but maybe a little more.
Okay, so if we think that anyone can homeschool, and I think you kind of alluded to this. Do you believe everyone should homeschool?
Oh gosh, that's.
Or are there some that shouldn't, and who would those people be?
That's a tough question. I don't know if I can answer that. I know that you have to be committed to it and dedicated to it, and I think the majority of parents that homeschool are. But I have met the occasional parent who, you know, had convinced themselves that they couldn't do it. And I think the main reason is because it is work. It takes a lot of work. Your children are with you all day. They're pulling you in every direction. You're having to figure out how to work with one while the other one is occupied. And it's tough. You know, I remember a couple of those years just thinking, gosh, I don't know how I made it through today. But it was something that I wanted to be successful at, that I wanted to look back and say I was able to do that. So it wasn't always perfect. It's still not perfect. But, as far as one category of person who shouldn't, I don't know if I can say that. I know some. I know that's the main thing, though, is that you have to really, your heart has to be in it, and you have to be committed to it in order to be successful, I think.
You know, I'm going to echo some of the questions just because, you know, we are both homeschooling parents. I used to think everyone should do it, you know, but for a lot of different reasons, primarily because I thought, gosh, the contact with your children adds such a dimension to the relationship. There's so much more, I guess you might call it, enculturation, family enculturation going on that I thought was beneficial. But then I also started seeing that some people really do, what you want to call it, it's not a good word for it, kind of go nuts with the pressure of it all, that I don't know that that would be helpful to the children. In other words, you're bringing my idealized view was you're bringing them in so you can kind of, like I said, create this family vision and pass that vision on. But some people that I've met, they can't either create the vision or they're just too scared to even try it. Like I said, it psychs them out almost. It looks like a time bomb about to happen. And so while I used to think everyone ought to, now I'm starting to go, you know, if you've got a really wholesome private school and you feel a lot of attachment to that place, and there is, by the way, a lot of values to institutions like sports and clubs and dances. There is a lot of value that sometimes doesn't come off very well in the homeschool environment, that I'm thinking, you know, if you've got a good school locally, it might be ideal, the ideal solution for you. However, the counterbalance to that is there's so many bad schools that if your only option is a bad school or being nutso at home because you don't know how to really kind of get the whole thing going, I still think being at home is better than going to the awful schools. So because there's just so much value that you're going to lose, like the morality of your children. So it is a tough question.
It's very tough. And I would agree with what you said. I think, you know, we know our children best. We know their personalities. We know, you know, in which situations or environments they would thrive. And you know, everybody's different. And so, I guess there are some people who shouldn't or possibly can't or they wouldn't be successful at it. And those children would probably be better off. With structure or sport or whatever it is that they, you know, don't think they can provide them at home.
844-527-8723. You're listening to David Simpson on the True Money Show. I have the special privilege of having my wife in with me today, who is discussing homeschooling. I was asked by the Sweetness to add a homeschooling segment to the True Money Show. And I said, I just jumped at it. I mean, the day after she asked me, I did one because I think it's a very, very important topic. And I do think, and because it's growing, we know that there's a future to this thing. We know that there's something going on, that people are being drawn to take control of certain elements of their life that that they feel like they've lost control of, or that they see the control going the wrong direction, as in particular going to school and being told to wear a mask, take your temperature, do online only, socially distance, all these other crazy things at school. I've heard, by the way, just to let you know, it's not a purely public school issue. I mean, it's public, private, parochial, the whole thing. I've heard of local Catholic schools, and I'm not kidding when I say this, telling their boys to wear a mask even while they're eating and to pull the mask down to take a bite and put the mask back up while they chew.